This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Rose Studios, in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Hola, Devo.
Hola, I am back from Madrid. Sorry, let me say that again. Madrid. You can't, no Englishman can say Madrid. Huh? It's impossible.
You know how I knew you'd been to Madrid?
How?
Because on the show last night, when you were talking about Rafa Benitez and his former clubs, you said...
Valencia.
Yeah.
I just walk around in Spain just selling everything like... I'm going a little French in the middle there. Yeah, I properly love Madrid. Roger Rogelio.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great town, great food, great golf courses. Who knew? It's a golf. Most places you got to play golf. I know you're so bored by this, but just
I'm
let me say it for
fascinated.
the 2.5% of our GFOPs who play golf. Men go on golf trips and they go to places where there is nothing other than golf courses. You reach a certain point in your life, Rog, 50, where you want something more than just a golf resort. You want decent golf courses. You don't need the greatest golf courses in the world. You need decent golf courses and an amazing city. Madrid should be the next great golf destination in the world. Really good golf courses. The Real Sociedad Hípica Golf Club, Rog. The Royal Golf Club. Amazing. Very, very good. But the restaurants, the nightlife, the hotels, everything is great.
More will be discussed on your other podcast today in Olazabal.
Today in Spanish Golf.
Antic.
Yeah, very good.
I'm so glad you're back, David.
Yeah.
You know what reinforced my love of America this week, David?
What, Rog?
The Bachelor finale.
Really?
Yeah. Do you watch that show?
Well, after the final rose.
Yes.
You like that? You're a romantic.
I'm fascinated. It's a radical show, Dave. It's a radical. It's not a romantic show. This is what I realised this series. Mm-hmm. Ben, by the way, Ben Higgins, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your engagement to Lauren B.
Uh-huh.
In which I believe all scientists have now agreed has been hailed as the most romantic rose ceremony yet.
Yeah.
My first gut watching, David, I don't understand how a show can idealise the notion of ultimate monogamy. I mean, these people did get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect relationship, that notion.
Yeah.
After essentially promoting the notion of polygamy for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, The Bachelor's essentially encouraged to act like a thirsty Diego Costa to the contestants.
Mm-hmm.
Contestants are actually just 30 Gareth Barrys for an entire season. And then at the last moment, he has to flip a switch.
I don't think they call them contestants on the show. I think they call them ladies. Ladies. It's one of the creepiest words in the English language when said like that, ladies.
I mean, right at the end.
Yeah.
He has to flick a switch and pretend to want to settle down forever with just one of them.
Yeah.
After getting to second base, or more probably.
Yeah.
With every one of their housemates over the course of 4 months.
For multiple reasons, it's not easy for me to comment on The Bachelor. Full disclosure, we do produce the After Paradise post-show, The Bachelor live post-show to The Bachelor. So I'm involved in this world from a production and business point of view.
I see where this is going. Series 87 of The Bachelor.
And secondly, the romance
is back. Michael Davis is The Bachelor riding a horse down the beach.
Just based on my own personal history.
I still believe in love.
Based on my personal history, quite difficult for me to comment about the notion of romance, marriage, monogamy, all these kinds of
just talk to me
issues.
Objectively, but tell me.
I'm just surprised that it's taken you this long to find The Bachelor, Rog. This is about 8 years old.
I've loved it from the very beginning.
Oh, you have? I didn't realise. We've never spoken about it before.
I think it first came on when I was about 14 or 15.
Yeah.
I thought, what a refreshing
idea.
Dog
years.
Yeah. My favourite one was the New York Giants quarterback.
Yeah.
Jesse Palmer.
Yeah.
Hero on the gridiron, loser in love.
Yeah.
Needs a television show to get to second base. I found that very reassuring.
I don't think that's the reality of it.
I mean, then it hit me, though, last night. I'll tell you what did hit me for the last
what?
First time ever watching this show.
Mm-hmm.
The Bachelor is essentially just a thinly veiled parable for the MLS season.
Oh.
Played out in more Liberace-esque settings, maybe. Mm. There's just so many contenders.
Yeah.
The early front runners like San Jose and Montreal all turn out to be crazy pretty quickly. And the truth is, there's essentially parity and anyone can win it.
I have never been more worried about you than I am right now. I have never been more worried about you.
I know that Don Garber's listening to this. So I'm speaking only to you, Don. I know you didn't like the bit about the Spanish golf. Look back, listen to me now when I tell you. All MLS.
I think Don would enjoy Spanish golf. Don God. I think he'd love it. It'd be amazing.
Don Garber.
Don, if you're listening, come and play golf in Madrid with me.
But they call him Don Garber then.
Don Garber.
Yeah, they'd love it.
Don Garber.
Double D.
Yeah.
Double D Garbs.
Yeah.
Double D Garbs, listen to me. MLS just need to find their equivalent of Chris Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And MLS is just going to blow up.
You know, I think he's a football fan, Chris Harrison. Pretty sure he's a Premier League fan. I think he might be a Gooner. It looks like a Gooner.
Chris Harrison is a Gooner.
Yeah.
Do you know where they found him? His audition tape. It must have been on Arsenal Fan TV.
With him and Claude. With him and Claude. It'd be brilliant.
All right, I'm out of here with Chris Harrison. Chris, what do you think of the camp? It was appalling. He used to speak all Cockney.
Yeah, no. But we'll be right back. Right after this. It'd be good.
Talking about bachelors, Dave.
Yeah.
He's not a bachelor, but he acts like one.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, I'm totally bemused by just the loving and sense of wonder surrounding Justin Trudeau.
I've got a rundown, and I still have no idea where you're going at the beginning of these sentences and where you're going to finish. We've started off on our podcast. True. You know what? I did talk about Spanish golf for a little bit too long.
Yeah.
But you went into The Bachelor. I'm sure you and JW will edit that out. Well, no, JW likes golf. He'd enjoy Spanish golf. So you then go into The Bachelor, and now you're going to Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, you've got to explain it to me, though. He is no Olivier Giroud, Justin Trudeau. Yet we've treated him as if he is that high ether of unbelievable-looking men.
He's a pretty good-looking man.
You think?
For a politician. Let's compare him to the politicians running this time.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau is better looking than all of them.
No, he's not. That's nonsense.
Okay.
Nonsense. I can think of
Christie left the race, Rog. He left. He's not in it anymore.
That's inner beauty.
Okay.
All I'll say about Trudeau...
All I'll say about Rog is desperate not to say anything in case it exposes how he feels about politics one way or the other.
Yeah, people don't know my politics.
I do.
I want to talk about football. I want to create an oasis.
Clearly. We're 20 minutes in. Okay, go ahead.
I want to create an oasis where we only talk about football.
Okay, we've started well.
And Justin Trudeau.
Oh, okay, very good. And The Bachelor.
How do you classify Justin Trudeau's looks? Because to me... He's middle manager hot.
I think he's an 8.
He's suburban dad soccer assistant coach hot.
Yeah, in Canada he's like a 9.
He's not quite bank vice president hot. I'm going to leave it there. People, please write to me and explain this to me, because I truly admire him. I like the way he operates. I just don't understand that. Wow.
I mean, look, he's no Ben Higgins.
Yeah.
But for the Canadian Prime Minister, I'd say he's up there.
Yeah. Tell me, Justin Trudeau, I know you're listening.
Yeah.
GFOP.
Yeah.
Up there in Canada.
Yeah.
Come back to us.
He's in Toronto, probably Montreal.
When you've got a Zayn Malik kind of face tattoo. And then you'll be interesting.
Okay, Rog, should we go to the football? We've got a packed show. We're going to ask all the big questions in the wake of El Blazerico, the FA Cup edition, including Diego Costa, criminal or cuddling enthusiast? We relive the Shinji Okazaki overhead kick that sent the King Power into a frenzy and keeps Leicester 5 points clear at the top of the table. And we break down the mano a mano matchup between Sir Harold of Kane and King Bradley Guzan in Spurs' defeat of Villa. To the football, Rog.
Does this can sound different to you?
Yeah.
It's because it's a Guinness special edition can that I'm tapping.
Wow, it's beautiful can, actually.
It is beautiful.
Even if it wasn't filled with such amazing beer, I would buy that
It's like a 1930s homage.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau, come back when your face looks like the Guinness special edition can. Then I'll truly be interested.
Careful. Oh, very good. Well poured. Well poured, Roger.
I just want to make a toast to you, David.
Yeah.
To Ben Higgins and Lauren B.
Yeah.
And all who sail in them. Good luck with that. Can I just say, what an awful weekend of football. I want to be clear to all GFOPs listening.
You had one of the greatest weekends of football of your life. What are you talking about?
I like to look at the cup half empty, David.
That's true.
Let's be honest. We talked on the show yesterday about how this kind of half FA Cup, half crap league schedule, it's like the mythological centaur, half man, half horse, or the satire, half man, half goat.
Yeah.
Or what, Davey? A Vardy, half man, half subway rat. And it was
ferret.
This week, really?
Yeah.
I think it's partial.
I think more ferret when I think of Vardy than I do rat.
It's a caveat to all those who love animals a little bit too much who are listening. Yeah. It all made for some crap viewing, David. Mm-hmm. At Source Watch tweeted us to say, the feeling when your team is out of the FA Cup and NBCSN is showing Mika Morto auctions.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I enjoyed the Mika Morto auctions a lot, though. I think they're very good. They rate very well. Outrate us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Rod, to the football.
Cars.
We are now between 28 and 38th of the way through the Premier League season. That's 14 19ths to 15 19ths of the way through the season. We can see the end, depending upon who you support. We're coming off a football buffet in which the salad bar that is the FA Cup proved more exciting than the Premier League carving station. Roger, okay, let's start with the FA Cup. Unlike us, Everton 2, Chelsea 0. It felt way worse than that. El Blazerico 3 proves a no-holds-barred action thriller, complete with almost fights, wonder goals, and neck nibbles. In the end, a pair of late Romelu Lukaku strikes proved the difference as the Toffees book their place in the semi-finals. Congratulations, Rog. Discuss.
Are you patronising me?
A little bit.
Okay. Great El Blazerico, Davo.
Yeah.
Or greatest El Blazerico ever. .. All right. First, feelings before kickoff, Davo.
Yeah.
Because I realised how little this meant to me. Mm. While I was watching PSG roll over Chelsea in the Champions League and Chelsea's exit, which normally gives me so much delicious kind of Schadenfreude pleasure.
Yeah.
Felt like just a tiny emotional speed bump, barely registered. And I realised our pod works, if it works at all, Spanish golf lovers, because of opposites. You're from the south.
Yeah.
I'm from the north. You're charming and healthy. I'm repulsive and slumpy. You support powerhouse. I support a middling underdog. But now both teams, Davo, are total crap. Can our reality hold?
Yeah, but our teams are also opposite forms of crap, really. Because your team are actually much better than their league position and their performances this season would suggest. And Chelsea, weirdly, are much worse than their position this season and their performances would suggest. Actually, a miracle for me is how Chelsea got this far in the cup and how Chelsea have managed to get somewhere near the middle of the Premier League. Oh,
when you were talking about different forms of crap, I thought you were going to trigger the kind of conversation we normally have on our other podcast, Defecation Today. But all I can tell you is my approach pre-game was just to try not to hope too much, to give as little of myself to the game so as not to be disappointed, David.
How different is that to your approach every single time before Everton play? Because it's basically the same.
Why just to Everton? Okay. Just to life in general.
To life, you're right.
I also want to say, Fox Sports 2, thank you for putting games on in standard definition, as they should be viewed. I find it very evocative and nostalgic watching any game nowadays in SD.
Yeah.
It reminds me of watching soccer in years past before the NBC days, when soccer, if it was a religion in America, was kind of akin to the Karaites or Jainism. And standard definition, it means that I watch football in the present day, Davo, with a little emotional tug of the past kind of drawing at me.
Just before I get phone calls from my friends at Fox Sports who will insist to me that the game was in HD, it just depends on which cable carrier or service you're watching the game through. Those are the people that make the decision as to whether it's in SD or HD, not our friends, our great friends, who hold the rights to many important tournaments.
I also want to make a statement to all of our friends who are Karaites in America.
There's a Venn diagram. There's a shaded area, which sometimes includes
you both. Deserve better than those kind of comparisons. Yeah. All I say is when I watch an SD, I experience the action.
Yeah.
All the more.
Yeah.
Because of the ghosts and echoes of the past. I love it.
Yeah.
More football in SD, please.
Yeah, very true.
The first half, Davo.
Yeah.
It was all just Diego Costa.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, I thought the game really came to life in the second half. But the first half, Rog, Diego Costa all over the place. I mean, you have to admit, And what I actually was impressed by Everton, they came at him very hard. It's the way I think you want to play Diego Costa. Something that you hear commentators say all the time, which is rubbish, is that, you know, you don't want to... Diego Costa, you don't want to go at him too hard because that brings out the best of him. I actually think that Diego gets rattled. I think that's what you want to do to him. And he wants to know that you're there and you're playing him very hard. I thought they played him hard, and particularly the little tussle that went on between him and Gareth Barry.
Which started from the very beginning. Because Diego Costa essentially spent the first 45 minutes behaving as if he was at a Trump rally.
Let me just make it clear, he would not be pro-Trump, he would be Bernie, for many reasons.
You think?
Oh, yes. There are not many Trump supporters who look like Diego Costa.
Listeners should probably... I think he was more interested early on in the Martin O'Malley campaign.
Yeah, exactly. He was the one.
I mean, he was injured in a tackle with Barry.
You are not punished for making tackles like that on Diego Costa.
But what was amazing was that within seconds of the restart, Diego Costa just launched himself, hurled himself at Gareth Barry in such a way to exact revenge, yet at the same time being able to try and pass it all off as if he was the innocent party.
Mm.
Just the level of physical improvisation, the controlled anger and physical comedy, David. Mm-hmm. I was in awe of his dark arts. On this day, they were just at Ric Flair-esque levels.
It's how he became a successful footballer, Rog.
And it all felt like an FA Cup game of old that we used to watch. Frantic, frenzy, gritty patterns of play. Everton unable to get Lukaku or Lennon into the game, even though it was clear that Kennedy couldn't cope with either of those two guys.
Yeah.
At Susan Norman tweeted us, "I realise we're watching this in SD, but are they also playing in standard definition?"
Yeah, they were.
Hashtag creme de la crap.
We should also say that Barney Rone tweeted before the game when the starting lineups were announced is, "We'll all remember where we were when Kennedy was announced as starting as left back for Chelsea," which I thought was genius.
The closest Chelsea came to a goal, 57 minutes. Costa predictably slipped in. He beat Funes Mori. He beat Robles.
Yeah.
And he rolled the ball from an acute angle across the face of goal.
Yeah. Glanced the post.
My sphincter tightened, David.
Yeah.
If I had a pencil up, I would have snapped it. Honestly. Oh,
yeah.
I wanted this game.
Yeah.
Everton settled into play on the counter. Oddly enough,
the second half was terrific.
Cahill had the measure of Lukaku for a large part of this game.
Look, Cahill, I must say, since John Terry's been out with injury, Cahill's actually had a pretty impressive run of games. Remember, this is the first domestic game that Gus Hiddink has lost. You know, he's been there since before Christmas, Rog. And Cahill has been a big reason for it. He played him very well. They stopped Romelu getting the ball with his front to goal, which is where he likes it. Played him very well, combined with Ivanovic, combined with Azpilicueta on the right. Very, very well.
Oh, and then there was another great Chelsea moment when Costa ground little Leighton Baines, his face into the turf while pretending to push himself off aforementioned turf. And I realised, and I'm saying this for Jeremy Roenick. You see, Jeremy Roenick said a nice thing about our show yesterday.
Wow.
When he did the handover, the Rebecca Lowe of NHL hockey said, "Following this is Men in Blazers." And out of Jeremy Roenick, who was a hero of mine when he was a Blackhawk, I used to go and watch him play terrible Blackhawk sides.
Yeah.
And he was the only guy on the ice. It was like watching Peter Beardsley at Everton when he just levels above everyone else around him in those days. And Jeremy Roenick goes, "I like that show." And then he caught himself saying it. And so he said it again. "I like that show."
Oh, I love it.
It's an amazing moment in Men in Blazers history.
Wow.
Watching Diego Costa batter Everton player after Everton player is probably the best argument the NHL has for never banning enforcers. They are a moral safety check and balance.
And, letting them take off their helmets, I think, is important.
If Roberto Martinez could have, he would have sent on Ty Domi and just got revenge for poor little Leighton. But revenge would be found in a completely different way, David.
Oh, yeah. Cahill, we were congratulating him earlier. But he was one of the defenders at fault. Romelu Lukaku gets the ball.
The moment.
On the left wing. He's now facing the goal. As you've said,
he
takes pictures,
down.
He takes pictures.
He came on this podcast.
Yeah.
And when I interviewed him, he said that whenever he gets the ball in the final third, he's trained himself to, quote, take 10 pictures of all that lies ahead of him. The space, the crevices, the defender's positioning. The goalkeeper, and you see him when you watch this, you see him look up, count five defenders and Courtois, and he fancies his chances.
Yeah, no, it's very true. First of all, slips Azpilicueta and Ivanovic.
Yeah, Azpilicueta desperately tries to hold him back.
Yeah.
And he just brushes through that challenge as if it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he lets Ivanovic just fall over in panic and tumble in front of him. and then he charges past the terrified Obi Mikel.
Yeah.
And then turns Gary Cahill inside. It was like watching Steph Curry cross over Damian Lillard.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of Chelsea fans listening will be saying, oh, the defence, they messed it up. Oh, bloody Chelsea, bloody Ivanovic, bloody Cahill. I must say, looking at it again, and we've watched it a few times, one of the problems of this job is I have to relive these moments again and again and again and again. Lukaku at that moment looks absolutely unstoppable. It was an amazing finish. It was just superb,
Courtois.
Striking.
Suddenly cruelly exposed. It was that beautiful moment when you just see a panic affect someone who otherwise seemed invincible.
Yeah.
And he was so cruelly exposed for a second. He tried to cover his near post and Romelu, beautiful Romelu, no longer just a footballer, Davo, but a man possessed, just drove the ball into the far corner. He was an assassin. That's what he was. Hell-bent on revenge, Davo, against the evil henchman who had killed the only girl he'd ever love.
Well, he's not there anymore.
Oh, it was like the climax of one of those countless Liam Neeson movies in which the trailer shows you the whole movie, but evidently millions of people go and see them anyway.
Yeah, he possesses a certain set of skills.
My notes, my game notes just say, yes, queen. And my nipples just crackled with an electricity. I could have powered a medium-sized city.
Well, and that celebration, Rog, that celebration.
How much it meant to Romelu, Davo, who's been so frustrated for so much of this season, and he just dropped to his knees, pointed at the sky, and then looked down and was just overwhelmed by feelings. Mm. I mean, he'd shown Chelsea what they'd been missing. Fab the Dog tweeted us to say, and this is one for Fargo 2 fans, Lukaku gave his former employee the, quote, handsy treatment. Question for you, David.
Yeah.
From GFOP Derek SF. As the cliche goes, knowing what we know,
yeah,
did Chelsea make the right decision? Could Lukaku have given them, if they'd kept him, what Costa did last season without the drama?
Well, look, I don't think that Romelu Lukaku on his own would have saved Chelsea this season. And remember, Romelu Lukaku did not do particularly well at Chelsea. He obviously, for whatever reason, was not thriving particularly well there. I would say that Everton fans and Romelu Lukaku fans should actually be pretty delighted that Chelsea made that mistake and let him go and that it didn't really work out there.
If you love someone,
well, I don't think it was that. Mourinho didn't think he had it, and he's definitely wrong about that. As to whether or not he would have thrived at Chelsea in the same way he thrived at Everton, we'll never know. We'll never know.
I don't believe in being hypothetical about history.
Yeah.
You often ask me, David, when I come into your office, you often say, Rog, would the Holocaust have continued if the plot against Hitler had worked?
Yeah.
And I say, David,
we've had that conversation about 7,000 times.
I say, David, we'll never know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I can tell you, Lukaku has scored more goals before the age of 23.
Yeah.
The age at which Arsene Wenger has determined you can tell the true measure of a striker than Ronaldo, Torres, Rooney and Zlatan, and Edson Buddle. Chelsea's depth chart below Diego Costa has Remy.
Yeah.
Pato.
Yeah.
Neither truly trusted.
Well, Traore.
Traore, so green.
Yeah.
And when John Terry is your go-to best emergency striker,
yeah,
all I can say is thank you, Chelsea Football Club, for giving us the greatest gift. Romelu.
I mean, it's a tiny little point, but one thing I'd say about Romelu at Chelsea, which I find interesting, is that Romelu at Chelsea was bought very much as the understudy to Didier Drogba. And I think one of the things that Mourinho, and maybe some Chelsea fans also, couldn't quite forgive him for, was not being a Drogba style of back to the goal, hold the ball up, kind of a striker. And he was always compared. It's like, is he going to be a Drogba? Is he going to be a Drogba? What's interesting about Romelu is he's become a massive striker at Everton, but he's not a Drogba-like player. Despite his physical size, he's not really a Drogba-like striker. He's much more he's a speed merchant. He's front to goal. He's like amazing from deep positions. It's not what Drogba ever was.
And while the Guinness had spilled down the front of my shirt, we're still soaking wet, David.
Yeah.
Romelu, not Didier Drogba, Lukaku.
Yeah.
Did it again.
Yeah, but that was after Matic had been substituted, which was one of those times. It's happened a few times this season. It's the only time I realised that Matic was playing is when he gets substituted and taken off. So he goes off and Romelu does it again. And another fantastic, fantastic finish.
This time from the right, Barkley found him in space and he lashed the ball through Courtois once more. 2-0, 2-0. Traditionally the score at which Everton are the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
But rather than attack Everton when they're on the brink of a 2-0 up doom, which we are so often now, Davo,
Yeah.
Diego Costa's demons came back to distract Chelsea.
Well, I think that second goal was in the 82nd minute. I think it was not a lot of time for Chelsea to go and get back into the game. But Gareth Barry...
Ask West Ham fans how many scoring goals you can score in the final minutes against Everton.
Right, and Bournemouth fans. But Gareth Barry made another challenge. Not a particularly good challenge, you'd have to say, on Diego Costa. But, you know, most neutrals probably applauding it. It's obviously a yellow card challenge against him. Costa, I think, at this point, truly wound up. He's had enough. His side are 2-0 down. He seems to care about the FA Cup quite a lot, Rog.
he's a great upholder of English civic tradition.
He loves the FA Cup, Rog.
Is that what he loves?
I don't know.
Was there something about Gareth Barry, David?
Yeah.
Because it was the most...
But he's never won it. He's won the Capital One Cup and the Premier League. He's never won the FA Cup.
I have not. And you'll have to Google this, many of our listeners. I have not seen passion like this since Richard Chamberlain was in the Thornbirds.
it was similar.
I don't know how to describe this. It clearly wasn't a bite. Everyone close to it has said it was not a bite. It was the most close to a bite thing I've ever seen. And I want to say this, because I know he listens to the pod. Gareth Barry, I'm so proud of you. It's possibly the most English thing I've ever seen in my life. To essentially face a rampaging lion and simply put your face in the jaws of that aforementioned lion. Just stand there, Davo. It's like watching Rizzo from Greece get a love bite, Davo.
Yeah.
And just no emotion, just stand there while it's all going down. At Tim Seaman said, has there ever been a more erotic sending off than Costa's in recent
years? Oh, my word. It was. I'm not ashamed to say I was so turned on by it. It was wonderful.
Yeah, Louis van Gaal, we laughed when he said he wanted horny football.
Yeah, this was horny football.
This was horny football.
I
like,
know.
It was like watching Bella and Edward Cullen decide that kissing is worth the risk. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. You know how it ends for Costa, David? I mean, Dennis Rodman has lived this blueprint. Before Diego knows it, he'll be dating Madonna, posing naked for Peter, and then getting kicked out of North Korea for getting drunk, vomiting and defecating all over a hotel in Pyongyang.
I don't know about that. He's still a very good Premier League striker. He's still a very good footballer. And he's still scored a bunch of goals this season after a very, very, very slow start.
He's a rebounding fool.
He's about to get probably a few game suspension for, not for the bite, but for the rest of his behaviour during the game and after the game and after his dismissal. So who knows? But I don't think we've seen the last of his goal-scoring ability in football. I think he's closer to Suarez than he is to Dennis Rodman.
At the Real S. Fryle tweeted, I thought for sure Everton were done for when Chelsea went down to 10 men. Not to worry though, Gareth Barry would soon follow. At RPM 164, can Everton play in standard def the rest of the year?
Yeah, we'll see. Well, could Everton play like this the rest of the year? We've talked about it a lot. Everton have been a team who... You just can't quite believe that they didn't convert more of those draws into victories, more of those tight losses into draws. And this kind of performance, I know we feel a little differently about this game. I thought both teams actually played really well in this game. I thought Everton did really well to overcome Chelsea in this game. This was not by any means one of the poorer Chelsea performances of the year. And you just watch Everton play like this. You watch that solidity. You watch those moments of Lukaku. You watch how well they defend. And you just think... If Leicester can go there, why can't Everton go and be this good? Why can't Everton be this good?
That is the point. That is absolutely... I mean, on one level, this was fantastic. A trip to Wembley for Everton and the thousands of fans that follow this team around the country, week in, week out. I mean, it's a giddy and wonderful thing, and I will not miss it. But on reflection, David, the question I was left with was the feelings of joy that I and the Everton fans across America and Everton fans across the world experienced in those last 15 minutes. They are exactly what you said. They are wands of joy the Leicester City fans have savoured all season long. Mm. And really, when you look at the way this team has played and the way points have been frittered away, that joy should have been ours all season long. But enough about us. Chelsea's season, it's dead.
It is.
Eternal rest grant unto them, done. O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. A relief.
It's a relief. We're done, Rog. We're done. It's been a horrible season, Rog. It's been worse than that. It's been very, very difficult. I know we like make light of it all the time, but it's like we always look for our teams to sort of lift our moods at the weekend, to lift our moods midweek. And we've got very used as Chelsea fans over the last 12 seasons. We've had a lot of amazing years. Over the past 4 years, this club has won everything there is to win in football, including the Europa League, Rog, which I know is the thing you covet more than any other trophy in world football. Yeah, we've won everything.
Never won the fair play trophy, though, have you, David?
No, although we're not doing badly in it this season, I just checked.
You know who's top?
What?
Leicester City.
Yeah, no, Leicester are top.
Top of everything.
Yeah.
Bullies. No. World but, I mean, powers.
But believe Greedy. Me, it's the end. It's been a horrible season. It's even worse than that because the club are in disarray. Stories today that Antonio Conte has, you know,
Italian Football Federation announced he'll be leaving the team after the Euros to answer, quote, the call of the training pitch.
And people think that that means he's coming to Chelsea. I have little faith in the management of Chelsea, of this football club, right at the top, other than the fact that they have bunches of money to throw at it. But as we've learnt this season in the Premier League, it's not about throwing bunches of money at everything. Chelsea didn't win because they bought the championship. You don't win because you buy the league. You win because you play football in a certain way and because your mentality is incredibly strong. And Chelsea had, for years, a winning mentality that doesn't get bought with money. It gets achieved by the chemistry between your teammates and the chemistry between your team and your manager. And they are lost right now. This is a lost team. However, let's let the kids play. I don't think we'll see that. Let's bring in some new players. Let's bring in some fresh blood. Let's see what happens next season.
Well, Conte will be the foundation stone of this rebuild. He'll be Chelsea's 12th manager in 13 years, which is staggering. But what a time of great flux, Dave. Out of the Champions League, they're not going to qualify for it next season, which makes rebuilding and attracting elite players that bit harder, especially under a new manager. It's all change within change, wheels within wheels.
Okay, Rog. This will put me in a slightly better mood. At least this happened in the other FA Cup fixture. Arsenal 1, Watford 2, Rog. A slump buster for Odion Ighalo and an absolute thumper from Algerian Adlen Guediura. See Watford pass the back-to-back champs at the Emirates. Arsenal pulled one back through that guy Welbs, but to no avail.
Oh, Arsenal, you're reigning double FA Cup holders who have not lost in the venerable competition in over 2 years. What could go wrong now, Davo?
Yeah.
I mean, credit Arsene Wenger. Really, I applaud you for finding ever new ways to torture Arsenal's sadomasochistic following. It's not easy to keep coming up with creative new ways to attach their nip-nip clamps, Davo, but they found one.
Well done, Arsene.
Oh, I mean, fielded a virtually full-strength side despite massive games coming up against Barcelona and Everton over the next weekend. Elneny and Coquelin play together in midfield, which gave Arsenal the opportunity to unfurl a new way to lose matches, Davo. Add to the litany of other things, lack of desire, fight, leadership. This was really about the lack of incisive midfield potency.
Wow.
Watford's four midfielders welded onto their back four, set out to frustrate Arsenal, and they just didn't have the druthers to make anything out of all the possession Watford offered them. Olivier Giroud starved of all supply, and Watford sought to foray on the counter. First goal from Ighalo, scored. Yep. Basic ball flicked into the box by Troy Deeney, and then he turned like an oil tanker and then rifled home to break a 7-game scoring drought. And then the second.
Oh, yeah. Hot shot, Hamish. Adlen Guediura, Rog, on the counter. Hit the ball so hard, I thought the laces were going to come out of it.
Oh, even in slow motion, Davey, the shot was faster than the speed of light. I mean, the new...
It made a boom. It made a sonic boom.
It was an astonishing... If you have not seen this goal, please go and see this goal. The English newspapers took the easy headline from the Elton John-supported team, Rocket Man. Even though in truth that song's about how a pop star's constant touring makes him yearn for the stability of his wife and kids he's left at home. Yes, the Algerian's goal was very similar to a familial work-life balance problem. But Arsenal being Arsenal, they almost dragged themselves back into the game. They create the pretense of hope in their fans' hearts and then pour gasoline on that heart, set it on fire, and then stamp it all out. Danny Welbeck's one-man save the day routine, a reenactment of Scatman Carruthers in The Shining. He scored one late, and then just suffered the equivalent of a cleaver to the skull in a snowy maze. An extraordinary miss. That miss at the end, David.
Yeah.
The ball fed to him by Kieran Gibbs, who pounced on the rebound. And with the open goal, he chose to spin the long way round, allow two defenders to run back, and then shot off balance way over the bar from a couple of yards out. His lack of lethal predator's instinct, the symbol of Arsenal's entire season. What now for Wenger, David?
I don't know. I mean, there are suggestions in the press today that he is so riled up by the fans starting to, like, openly campaign, and not just a minority of upset fans led by Piers Morgan, but, you know, it's sort of a groundswell, Rog. It seems to be getting louder and louder and louder the whole time, that this is what's going to force him to walk away, he's revealed to some friends.
I mean, Aurelio Gomez, Watford goalkeeper, once a Spurs player, always a Spurs player, said it's the best time to play Arsenal. They look like a small team. I mean, Arsenal's season should end tomorrow in Barcelona. Before the game, Arsene said he'd have to be a god to be able to satisfy Arsenal fans. I think most of them would honestly settle for a false messiah, like Jose Luis de Jesus, who was both the reincarnation of Jesus and the Antichrist in 1980s Florida, and made his followers tattoo 666 on their forehead. But Wenger's fate, and that depends on Stan Kroenke, I think, who was just awarded or has been nominated as Sports Owner of the Year by the American Press, which the English journalists find to be mind-blowing. And his stomach for change. Right now, his focus is on the LA Rams. Mm. And the question is, do his people have the ability to oversee two radical overhauls at the same time?
Yeah.
Wenger's Arsenal. Arsenal is Wenger. And watching United unravel in the post-Ferguson era may be the thing that's keeping Wenger in the job right now, because on pure performance, he would be gone. I mean, we've got a great raven from GFOP, Benjamin Weinstein, who mused about his recent Arsenal love. He says, I've known nothing but Arsene Wenger. I'm frightened of being Wenger out. My generation shouldn't be known as millennials, but as Wenger babies. Mm. We simply don't know what it's like on the other side. I've got a feeling that's how Kroenke approaches Arsenal too, Dave. He prefers the comfort, the ease, the familiarity of his presence like a threadbare pair of old slippers.
I think the best thing he's got going for him is that Leicester looked likely to win the league. You know, Leicester winning the league almost gives a free out. It's not as bad as like Chelsea winning the league, or Man United winning the league and winning another title, or Liverpool coming back and ascending and going and winning a title, Man City doing it. If Tottenham, though, come back and win the league, there is no way, I believe, that Arsenal keep Arsene Wenger. He's just going to have to move on, because the fans will not be able to deal with their North London arch rivals slash family members, co-workers, winning that title.
Arsenal fans would prefer there to be a clash between the forces of the devil and the forces of good in the valley of death, Dave, than for Tottenham to win the league. But on the Leicester tip, I think the Leicester tip is undermining, because it undermines his argument for the past decade or more. The fight on the field is an economic fight off it.
Yeah.
And Leicester has kind of shredded that argument to a huge degree.
For them and for everyone, but for no one more than Arsenal.
I would imagine, with the fans agitating, Wenger will be given the dignity of negotiating a classy exit. And talking about class, the Kappa Dart weekend in North London, in the wake of Arsenal's FA Cup exit, the fans on Arsenal Fan TV, Davey, our favourites, had a fist fight. We normally know them for their rational, balanced fan opinion.
Yeah, we love Claude.
But oh my God, what a fantastic fist fight between Arsenal fans whilst debating the pain and the suffering. And for Arsenal Fan TV, I do believe it's only popular because of the voyeuristic pleasures it provides of grown men suffering as unstoically as is humanly possible. A terrible Arsenal loss for Arsenal Fan TV is like a presidential debate for CNN. It's absolute catnip. They should be loving it.
It's so weird because Arsenal, of course, as you said, they're the defending champions, won it twice in a row, Rog. And still that hasn't satisfied them that they've won the FA Cup twice in a row. And yet when they're eliminated from the FA Cup, which they clearly don't care that much about anyway, they're going at Arsene. It's like almost, maybe Arsene is right that only God could satisfy the fans, because I'm not sure what it is that they want at this point. And no doubt it's to win the Premier League. It's to win the Champions League. This team doesn't seem capable of that right now.
It's
no
a false
team
messiah,
in England.
Kroenke.
We will see. Okay, Rog, in other FA Cup action, Manchester United 1, West Ham 1. A dipping, bending, swerving Dimitri Payet free kick puts the Irons up 1-0 in the 68th minute. But with just 7 minutes left to play, that child, Anthony Martial, grabbed the wheel and steered LVG's side clear of the impending head-on collision, at least temporarily. His goal forces a replay at Upton Park, Rog.
Harsh words ahead of this game from United's legendary midfield ginger ninja Paul Scholes. He said after watching his former team be pistol-whipped by Liverpool in the suddenly sexy Europa League, the last thing I want for United is to be happy with finishing fourth and winning the FA Cup. That is what Arsenal do. LVG's message, to me, more sobering and ultimately even more terrifying if I was a United fan. He told supporters, it's not normal that one team is dominating for 20 years in a row. That was another time. You live in the past. You have to live in the present. I.e., if planets can die by being torn apart as they spiral around a white dwarf star, so can football teams. To the FA Cup, United once more, lackluster, their new selves. It's no longer a blip. This is not a blip. And in this game, United were flat, Davo, in the first 45. No creativity, no attacking intent, fearful, miserable, wretched football. Chris Smalling couldn't live with the brittle potency of Andy Carroll. And once again, United had to rely on David De Gea's casual acts of heroism. At Neon Ribald Sly tweeted us, I've got so much empathy for David De Gea. He's like Tim from The Office. Juan Mata, be Dawn. Please give him a consoling hug. How'd you beat a keeper of David De Gea's brilliance from distance, David?
Well, you have to be named Dimitri Payet, pretty much.
Oh, that free kick, which he dropped over the wall, like the perfect Clayton Kershaw curveball. It's a goal that's a product of hours spent on the training ground, practicing. United needed a goal desperately. Marcus Rashford reverted to being just plain old Marcus Rashford. He's Real Madrid's Rashford no more. He's not the Messiah. He's a naughty boy. But they were rescued again by Anthony Martial.
Yeah.
Child so young. JW came up with a great line for this yesterday.
Yeah, he's younger than some of the lint in Louis van Gaal's belly button.
Oh, he may be young, but what a finish. Great run from Herrera.
Mm.
And that finish, he made it look a lot easier than it was, hooking the ball home at the far post. United now face City in the Manchester derby at the weekend and attempt to win one of the only things that's left for them this dismal season, their dignity.
Roger, in the final FA Cup quarter-final, Crystal Palace 2, Reading 0. It takes Alan Pardew's side 86 minutes to find the net against the Biscuit Men, but a Johan Kabay penalty and a Fraser Campbell stoppage time goal see Palace pass the Championship side. Finally, a piece of good news for the boys from South London. Okay, Rog, the FA Cup semi-finals take place at Wembley the weekend of April 23rd, 24th. Wow, so long. Watford play Palace. Everton take on the winner of West Ham, Man United. I think they got the tougher fixture there,
you
Rog,
know what? But I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I should. The past couple of times I've gone to Wembley.
Oh, you went there and they lost.
I've been there several times. Semi-final against Liverpool. Went there, they lost.
Uh-huh.
And I've got tickets for this.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether I should not get... And maybe go for the final, which they'll lose by virtue of me being there.
Well, why don't you go with me?
Yeah.
And then it will be like the El Blazerico, which has been very good for this year. You've won it significantly, both 2-1 and on aggregate.
Would you be my Chris Christie?
Yeah, totally. I'll stand awkwardly in the corner and look like I'm happy about it. Okay, Rog, thank God to the Premier League.
That's big of you, David.
Even a crap weekend in the Premier League is better than all of that. Leicester 1, Newcastle 0, a 25th minute Shinji Okazaki overhead kick. What a goal. Ensures the Foxes stay 5 points clear at the top of the table. And hands Newcastle manager Rafa Benitez a loss in his first game at the helm. However, that's not the story of the whole game, Rog.
First to Newcastle, Davo.
Yeah.
I am a rock, I am a hair island.
Yeah.
Floundering. Hot messes.
Goodbye.
Steve McLaren has been let go.
Yeah.
Blow to ball deniers everywhere. He was left hanging on in humiliating fashion and then put out of his misery like old Yeller last Friday. Many ways he was doomed from the beginning. Mm. 8-game winless streak from the outset. A carousel of $140 million worth of busted signings over the past 2 transfer windows and little... in the semblance of tactical game plans. Few teams have had a more alarming propensity to just buckle after wheeling in the first goal. And he's left the club where there's a now massive rift between the fanatical fan base and wheeler dealer owner Mike Ashley, who has taken the club like a drunk driver straight into the ditch. But hello, new old friend.
Oh, yeah. Rafa Benitez, former Liverpool manager, former Chelsea manager, former Napoli. Rod Valencia, Real Madrid. He's got an impressive resume.
Fresh off the humiliation of his short crash and burn at Real Madrid. He's a control freak who should have had a bigger career in his mind, but who now must slum it at Newcastle. I feel for Rafa, David.
Mm.
1 minute, I imagine him just looking at his probably walnut desk in Real Madrid's training ground. Beautiful fields, sprinklers, pew, amazing players up on his wall. Every room he walks into smells of Paco Rabanne. He's looking around telling himself, God, I've finally made it to the biggest club in the world. And then before he knows it, his life is just jump cut to find him puked out in Newcastle. I mean, lots of you wrote in to suggest he's living the career of Santiago Munez from the Goal movie series.
I was just thinking that. It's like he's Benjamin Buttoning the movie Goal.
I just wonder how much of the last 9 months he actually remembers, David. or does it all feel like he had a bit too much drink at an amazing party? He was having the time of his life 1 minute. Mm. And then suddenly it's morning and he wakes up in a strange house covered in his own upchuck, his head hovering over the toilet bowl, just having no idea at all how he got there. We've all been there. the toilet bowl. I mean, not the Real Madrid pot.
I must say, he looks pretty good. There is a touch of the Latin, a touch of the Mr. Molesley about him. I think there's a bit of black hair dye going on there. Because the last time he was in England, he looked significantly older than me. And now he looks about 10 years younger.
Oh, he looks like my son.
He does.
He looks like a younger Rodge.
He does.
He looks pretty good.
He's certainly got Newcastle. And by the way, this is a team not without talent. It's a team who at the beginning of the season we looked at and thought, oh, they've got some good players. Ronaldo can score some goals. They're going to be quite good this season. But he's got them, certainly in this game, I felt against Leicester, got them playing pretty good football.
I mean, few teams offer social scientists so many opportunities to study whether there really is something like a new manager bounce, Davey, as Newcastle United. And Benitez, I mean, his first task was to give the defence an upgrade from not giving a crap. And I must say, 10 seconds into the game, Wes Morgan back pass left Schmeichel short, and Wijnaldum swooped in, almost blocked the goalkeeper's clearance, almost the dream start.
Yeah.
But then Leicester took a grip on the game. Kante dominated the midfield, Albrighton rifling forward. And we discovered that Rafa Benitez had simply not had enough time to run his defenders through overhead kick drills. That goal.
Oh.
I mean, just another electric moment in this season of dreams.
Yeah.
For dream living, sky flying Leicester City.
Yeah. Analysts were criticising Newcastle for their defence, giving away the free kick, for giving up a second phase and then a third phase that led to the goal. But just when it came to it, the determination of Jamie Vardy to go and win that header. He's not very tall,
Rog.
He's
the patron saint of lost causes.
I know. He just found a way to go and win that header. And then the overhead kick by, you know, not only has he found himself in some space, Okazaki, at that point, but just the finish is just wonderful.
All those years with the nunchakers in the dojo.
Yes, Rog,
they
exactly.
Pay off kids.
That's all Japanese kids do.
House of Flying Daggers.
Yeah.
It was a wonder strike,
mm-hmm.
Even more so when you consider it was actually Leicester's only shot on goal the whole game.
I know.
And Leicester's fans suddenly serenade Rafa Benitez with a rendition of "You Getting Sacked in the Morning."
Yeah.
Such is their cocky swagger and confidence and joy, and they deserve it. You know what impresses me about Leicester, Davey?
Yeah.
How much energy they demonstrate the whole game long.
Oh, all of them.
It's the 30th game of the season. Manchester City look dead inside. Arsenal, done. Spurs are worried about legginess, juggling their Europa League lineups. Leicester, limitless energy.
Just in one competition. But they find a way to keep on running. And they run between their lines. Their movement, we've said this before, their movement between their lines. When you see other teams put 9, 10 men behind the ball, they're in rigid lines. These guys not only attack between the lines, they defend between the lines. It is just phenomenal. Phenomenal to watch.
Powered by the adrenaline of being in touching distance of eternal sporting glory will do that to men.
Yeah. And lifted by their crowd. The atmosphere in the King Power Stadium is amazing, Rog.
And they work so hard at both ends. Albrighton cutting Newcastle apart 1 minute up top, then getting in a crucial block at the other.
Yeah, Albrighton for England.
I mean, you compared him yesterday to James Milner, but good.
Oh, he is that kind of a player. He covers that amount of ground. James Milner's also a very good player. That was unfair of me. He is a very good footballer. But Albrighton has a little bit more, seems to have a bit more speed, seems to have a bit more quality on the final ball.
Newcastle put up a bit of a fight in the second half. Sissoko, Andros Townsend, bless him when he came on, led a flickering charge. But the final ball was always lacking as their belief. The closest they came when Sissoko rifled a shot against a diving Wes Morgan's arm. Was it a penalty? Possibly. But big footballing teams
absolutely
get those kind of calls.
Absolutely.
And Leicester City are
they're
now
a big football team. Yeah,
big
they've
football
got the respect in the way they're playing.
Nervous last 15 for Leicester. Beautiful moment as Ranieri G'd up the Leicester
love
faithful
it
with the Italian sign for Reza Darufa.
Yeah.
And they held on for the 1-0 win. They're 12th by that scoreline. They've kept a clean sheet in 6 of their last 7 home matches.
Mm.
Something no one would have predicted earlier in the season when they leaked goals for fun. At Yixi 04, Saki and Sushi on the coach on the plane. At Kyle is Gibson. After the FIFA scandal, this Leicester side feel like our big reward for sticking with the game we love so much.
Yeah, I was looking at their future fixtures, Rog, today, as I know a lot of people have been doing and thinking, God, can they do it? Can they do it? The final three fixtures against Man United, Everton and Chelsea. What a culmination to this season we're going to have.
I loved Ranieri's comments after the game. When will he relax? He said, when we have a 5-point lead with less than one match remaining. And then he said, believe me,
yeah,
we have won our title by saving the team from relegation. As for Newcastle, Benitez upbeat post-game. I can see positives, but there are things we can fix. Say the timing of his arrival, typical of the northeastern teams, conveniently right before a Tyne and Wear derby this weekend. Newcastle and Sunderland, Benitez has a brutal personal rivalry with.
Big Sam Allardyce, Rog.
Do not miss that game unless you only watch good football. Mm-hmm. At Vetchak tweeted, how long till we find out how you say Rafa out in Geordie?
Okay, seems right now like there's only one team who can catch them. Aston Villa nil. No, not them. Tottenham 2. Them. A brace from the masked man. Harry Kane sees Spurs casually sidestep the burning wreckage that is Aston Villa. Tottenham sits second, 5 points behind Leicester and 6 points ahead of third place Arsenal.
Pochettino fielded a weakened side at Dortmund. The trophy he's still thinking of is the league. Mm. The oddest part of that decision, though, Spurs were playing Villa, team who were sadder than Barbara Hershey and Beaches, the Premier League's whipping boys. Both teams played the first half like one-man teams, Dave. Tottenham's one man.
Ah, Sir Harry of Kane.
And Villa's Bradley Edwin Guzan. First 30 minutes were like a game of one-on-one. The light glinting off Brad's cranium, putting off the English sniper on at least three occasions. Mm-hmm. Sounds surreal, Dave, because he's let 6 goals in the last 2 games, but he's been outstanding. 15 saves.
Yeah.
Belated respect is the most validating kind of respect.
Yeah.
He's as if Sinead O'Connor and Ed Harris birthed an elite athletic American goalkeeping baby.
Yeah.
I like that baby.
Yeah. That's an unlikely baby.
But then the breakthrough.
Yeah, absolutely. Dele Alli fouled in the middle of the park. Quick thinking from the young man. He sends it in quickly, sees Harry Kane, he's pointing for it on the wing on the edge of the penalty area. Dele Alli puts it into space, and Harry Kane, stonking, no self-doubt whatsoever. Not. How does he do it? And he's English, and puts it in the back of the net, Rog.
Dele Alli, just 19, but yeah, experienced enough to set him off quickly with that free kick.
Yeah.
And you say, Harry Kane,
yeah,
more determination runs through his blood, the blood of one Harold Kane, than in the entire corpus of the Aston Villa squad.
Yeah.
And the second crafted as Villa pushed up in desperate hope of finding an equaliser, leaving gaps at the back. That pass from Dele Alli.
Yeah, it was not the obvious pass. I would say it was almost Pirlo-esque. It was like, oh, where's he passing that ball? Oh, he's missed it. It's gone behind. And then you realise it's just perfectly set up for Harry Kane to run on.
It was like a calculus seed in a beautiful mind when he's working at the blackboard, just furiously working at his sums, just a complex computation of space, movement, angle.
But by the way, it was also a fantastic finish, that goal. It was just, he did have a lot of work to do, and he did it,
22 goals in all comps, 18 in his last 21 league games, now equal top scorer with Jamie Vardy. That after spotting him a 6-goal lead by going scoreless. Remember when we all said Harry Kane was a one-hit wonder?
Yeah.
Villa, a couple of comedy misses in garbage time. Spurs fans joined in Villa's fans' chants of we want Lerner out by the final whistle, which they soon changed to Lerner for Arsenal, which might be my favourite chant of the weekend. 20th loss for Villa, proud history and no future, as a fans' protest T-shirt proclaims.
I know.
It's very funny that Brad Guzan has travelled from one extreme to another in his wonderful life. He is, as we said on the show yesterday, he is like the human version of Chumbawamba's earworm.
Yeah.
I get knocked down, but I get up again, made human flesh.
Yeah.
And I adore him. Spurs, 5 points back, 8 games to play.
Yeah.
Solid running. Liverpool away, United at home, Chelsea mixed in there too. Mm. All is possible. Can they do it, Davo?
Yeah, the only thing that Chelsea have left is potentially they can be the spoilers to prevent Tottenham. They've already stopped Arsenal, so they can prevent Tottenham. I think they play City as well in the run, and they can perhaps affect who wins the Premier League. They can be kingmakers or kingbreakers, Roger.
Tottenham's best hope. I'm doing a documentary all about Leicester.
Oh, no.
The Leicester City story.
Why are you doing it
Which
now?
Runs next
That's
Saturday.
That's a terrible
this upcoming
idea.
Saturday.
Why are you doing that?
At 4:30 p.m. on NBCSN.
Oh, you're
Hashtag
the dentist.
Curse
you
of Rog.
Cecil the Lion. Oh, Rog. Why are you doing it?
I was only following orders.
Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? It's interesting. I did have a moment during this game, Rog, when I was watching Harry Kane and Dele Alli, and like a lot of English observers, you're watching these two and you're thinking, England might be quite good at the Euros. England, actually, they put these two together. And immediately, the second I thought it, I thought, there is absolutely no bloody chance that Roy Hodgson has those two in his starting lineup when England line up against Russia.
I know the headlines in the English papers today are Rooney has announced, don't worry, England fans, I'll be back for the Euros.
England fans are like, it's okay, have a rest, just have a lie down, it's all going to be...
You deserve it.
You earned it. Have a lie down, it'll all be okay. Okay, Rog, in other action, Norwich 0, Man City 0, a battle between apathy and ineptitude and just like terrible pastel-coloured jerseys ends in a goalless draw at Carrow Road, 51 points from the first 29 games. Is Manchester City's lowest tally in a Premier League season since 2008-2009. It's amazing how many teams have crap narratives this year. They sit fourth, 12 points adrift of Leicester. Norwich remain ensconced in the stink of the relegation battle. They're 18th. We should say Man City do have a game in hand.
Of all the crap narratives, David, yep, this is the one that is most curious to me. Before the game, Manuel Pellegrini announced City needed to win 9 of their remaining 10 games to lift the title.
Yeah.
His team then proceeded to make sure this would not be one of them. I mean, Yaya Toure out with a foot injury, but I think the big Ivorian will be pleased with just how much his approach to football has spread throughout the entire City team. They all adopted his attitude of not giving too much of a crap.
Yeah.
There was just nothing by the way of hustle, leadership, desire, or hunger. Aguero, uncalibrated. Boney disappeared like Richard Simmons. I mean, poor Wilfred Boney, I've got to say. I look at him, and he looks as out of place on that City team as Hillary Clinton on Broad City. David Silva, it just pains me to say this because I adore that man. Mm. I do. He's just not able to unpick the locks on teams in the Houdini-esque way he has in seasons past. Mm. And Norwich tried to seize the initiative by playing passing football.
Whoa.
In the same way Radio Shack try and make world-class electronics.
Mm.
Bamford.
I do like the redesign of their stores, though.
You do?
Yeah, I think they've done a good job.
They redesigned just before they put up a going out of business and a for sale
site. Yeah, they've redesigned. At least they look good going down. That's important.
Bamford hit the bar. Mm. Chelsea's Bamford. Really as a football player, yes, more like an Oxford politics
hasn't
student.
Hasn't really played much at Chelsea, Rod.
And Doran shanked a late glorious shot wide in the most Scottish of ways.
Yeah.
Manchester City's campaign becoming eerily reminiscent of Jeb Bush's. All that money, Davo. Mm. For what? Hashtag, please clap. MJ Swenson 71 said, who's Manchester City's mother and brother they'll bring along for the remaining matches? You know who I feel for, Davo?
Who?
Pellegrini. The big lesson, lame duck managerial change undermines season of opportunity. Every time I see a shot of him on the sideline, I think of a news headline sent to us from the Daily Mirror by great GFOP at Know It's Rebecca.
Mm.
The headline, church reverend pictured with crisps on his nipples during 4-day ketamine binge. Chris.
That's not Pellegrini.
Chris, potato chips on his nipples. We've all been there.
I don't think Manuel Pellegrini's been there. He's earning a lot of money, Rog. It's not a bad job being the manager of Man City, even if they're not going to win the league. Bournemouth 3, Swansea 2. Perhaps the game of the weekend in some ways, Rog. Party time on the South Coast as a 78th minute Steve Cook header breaks a 2-2 deadlock and scoops all 3 points for Eddie Howe's men. The Cherries have 10 points in their last 4 games. They're 13 clear of the drop, Rog.
Oh, I adore Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
As a human being, what he has done with this Bournemouth side this season, 13 points clear of the relegation zone.
Yeah.
The home fans singing, we are staying up, we are staying up.
Yeah.
It's one of the most fantastic stories of the year. Bar Leicester.
Yeah.
Bar West Ham.
Yeah. One of only 3 English managers left in the Premier League, Rog.
A lesser spotted bird.
Yeah, you don't see many of them anymore.
I mean, what they've achieved, Dave, to compete in this league and show they belong, they're like the Game of Thrones season 6 trailer. Every one of us is poor and powerless, yet we can overthrow an empire. Eddie Howe, he's the High Sparrow. We're going to get him on a podcast soon in the next couple of weeks because I just adore and revere that man.
What he's done with injuries and having to rotate that squad so heavily, he's got through so many players. It's been amazing, really amazing what he's done.
Oh, his approach to life is why I get out of bed in the morning.
Finally, 2 decent teams, not a great game. Stoke 1, Southampton 2. A battle between teams who aspire to play football as continental as the respective haircuts. 2 first half goals from Italian Graziano Pella proved the difference. Southampton are 7th, 7 points off 4th place. Manchester City.
Oh, Pelle ends his wait for a goal on 855 minutes. I don't care whether he scores or not. Mm. Should always play him. I just love
it. Just looks good.
Looking at him.
Yeah.
I want to go on the record and just say, I love that man.
We stand with balds. We're pro-bald, but we appreciate a man with hair.
He is so
probably
very,
more than any person
very
with hair.
Handsome. By the way, Canadians listening, if you voted him your Prime Minister, that is worth 4.
He's an 11 and a half in Canada. There's no one who looks like Pelle in Canada.
Pelle's my hair spirit animal.
In Other Premier League news, Rog, PSG and Zlatan. 62 days before the end of the Ligue 1 season, PSG clinched their fourth straight title this weekend, beating Troyes. I called him Troy, but Troyes in a 9-0 nail-biter.
It's closer than it's the scoreline suggests.
After the game, Zlatan said the only way he's staying with the French Giants is if they replace the Eiffel Tower with a statue of him, sparking rumours that the French will actually replace the Eiffel Tower with a statue of Zlatan. No, sparking rumours that he's Premier League bound, Rog. I'd love to see him in the Premier League. What a player, what an addition he would be. And a fierce opponent, assuming that he would be going to Manchester United or Arsenal.
Swedish Jordan Morris. I've got a feeling.
Arnautovic won't be happy about it.
Right now in Columbus.
Yeah.
I bet they're building a giant Zlatan Tower.
Yeah.
Come to MLS.
The Zlatan Tower.
Come to MLS, Zlatan.
You never know.
MLS.
We love that theme, Rog. Okay, MLS. Talking of MLS, they may want to end its goal of the season competition in week two after San Jose's Quincy Amariqua. I think that's how you pronounce it.
I think it's pronounced Jamiroquai.
It could be. Pinned a remarkable 35-yard chip to Adam Kwase's top corner Sunday.
I think that's pronounced Jamiroquai as well.
Lifting the Earthquakes to a 2-1 win over the Timbers. San Jose has 6 points from the first two games. Good start. Meanwhile, some of last year's leaders are off to a slow start.
Yeah, I've got to say that San Jose goal, the best of the weekend, not scored by a man named Romelu.
Yeah.
But it really was a weekend of real moments in MLS. Mm. Dramatic late winner, Marco Papa.
Yeah.
Plucking the ball out of the air in the 95th minute to smash it past Brian Rowe and give Colorado a shot win over dynastic ambitions LA Galaxy. Mm. Houston Dynamo running riot against local rivals Young Boys Dallas. After suffering five successive defeats in that derby, they opened a can of 5-0 whoop-ass. And the Red Bulls and the Mighty Sounders both 0-2. Parity was invented here in MLS long before the words Leicester City were breathed in polyglot tongues around the world.
Ravens, our first Raven from at PW underscore is underscore Tucko one. After this month of European competition, is the answer to why Leicester are top just that the big EPL teams are all crap?
I think the major teams' assaults on the title.
Yeah.
Arsenal, Man City, United, Chelsea have all been borderline negligent.
Yeah.
Spurs have pressed all the way. But I don't think you should take anything away from Leicester's achievements, Davey.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned I'm making a film that will air on NBCSN on Saturday, 4:30 p.m.
That will end Leicester's season.
The Leicester City story. And it's given me a second chance to look over the different stages of the season. Stuff I've forgotten, David. I mean, the early part when they were seen as relegation material, worthy of laughter. Danny Drinkwater drinks water. The early emergence immediately written off, the Vardy goal-scoring run. The first gauntlet, the brutal games in which their demise was predicted. The wobble around Christmas when they couldn't score. Then knuckling down again to see off all comers, beating Spurs, City, on and on and on. To win the league in a climate that believed economic might predetermines final league position over the course not of like six games like March Madness, but a grinding 38-week league schedule. It's borderline miraculous.
Also, I think it's proof that team chemistry is not a simple function of a simple sum of its parts. And I think one thing, I was looking at the background of N'Golo Kante today, you know, came out of as a youth player out of FC Boulogne, you know, played in the lower leagues of French football until he came. Yeah, until he ended up coming to Leicester on a big deal. Obviously, very, very good scouting. It just shows that the transfer market is just out of whack. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of depth in football. And you end up playing 25 times as much for a player who might only be a little bit better, but also has a lot of other things going on in their head, a lot of other things going on with their ambition, a lot of other people in their ear, a lot of other stuff, perhaps a little less heart, a little less guts. And what they've managed to put together at Leicester is a real team. They've played better football than anyone this year. Tottenham have played fantastic football this year because of the way the lines have combined with each other and because the emergence of this sort of like core of a spine of players who are playing very good football with each other. I think it's going to have some change on the way that the big teams approach putting together their teams. I think it's going to change the way they approach the preseason next year. And I think the era when the big teams took playing against the what they regard as the mid-level clubs and the lower-level clubs for granted, I think that's done. Okay, Rog, the winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Soccer Scribe, Raven of the Week is Philip Polifrone. About 3 years ago, I started following soccer when I discovered NBC's Premier League coverage, and before long, I became a passionate Arsenal fan. Over time, my wife's bemused curiosity grew to full-on soccer fandom, and now we're season ticket holders for our beloved NYCFC. What a world. But she is also a successful romance novelist, and her newfound love of soccer has started to creep into her work. In the past, she's written about everything from trysts with the Sasquatch to Sons of Anarchy-style orgies. What? What kind of a romance novelist is she? When she asked what she should write her next one about, I shrugged and said, Jamie Vardy. A light came into her eyes, and I knew I'd started something strange. About a month later, she finished her novel, Shot Caller, about a Premier League player who's been disgraced by criminal conspiracy charges and flees Britain to join an MLS expansion team in Atlantic City. I hope Don's listening. He arrives.
Don. Wake up, Don. Wake up.
And begins a torrid love affair with the female physio. And in the grand finale, puts a ball under his jersey and sucks his thumb to celebrate her unplanned pregnancy. I received the synopsis with wonder. It's not just Jamie Vardy. It's Eva Carneiro, Karim Benzema, and Joel Campbell with the pacifier all in one bundle. Who knows what other EPL narratives are baked into this thing? Not me. I'm not allowed to read them. My question is this. When does soccer narrative just become regular narrative? Will Jamie Vardy and co start a genre unto themselves? And as for my wife's book, who's the market for this thing? Is it me? And how am I supposed to watch soccer now without wondering somewhere in the back of my mind if Louis van Gaal is going to make a cameo in her next novel? That's cheap. I can't wait to read the book. We'll promote that hard.
Can I just tell you, Phil... Yeah. Louis van Gaal is an angry, vigorous lover.
Yep.
I looked this book up, David.
Uh-huh.
It's a real thing.
It is?
Yeah. It's called Shot Caller, a bad boy's baby novel.
I've always thought you just wrote The Ravens.
By Colleen Masters, which Amazon classify the book as Shot Caller. Yeah. Is a contemporary new adult sports romance novel, full length, 60,000 plus words in length.
Wow.
Contains graphic, sexual content and foul language, which makes it sound just like the Premier League.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about your letter. Mm. I bet your wife, Colleen Masters, has been writing about the Premier League all along. You just never noticed. Mm. Sons of Anarchy style orgies. I think that's actually the Stoke City story. Arnautovic and Boyan just going for it. And Trish with a Sasquatch. Mm. It's probably all about Ryan Giggs. Just Google Ryan Giggs chest hair because I believe your wife has. Colleen Masters, if you're listening, as one football lover who appreciates fine literature to another, can I suggest for your next book, as an Arsenal fan, can you just ship a tender love story about Theo Walcott only finding respite from the storm once he makes real his love affair with assistant coach Vic Akers and solves the love triangle the two had been experiencing with Olivier Giroud, who'd been a distraction for the entire side? What would you want her to write, David?
I think she can just watch what went on this weekend between Diego Costa and Gareth Barry, Roger. I'm shipping that relationship, I can tell you that.
What about one about me and NYCFC's Tommy McNamara?
He is your type.
He's my favourite footballer.
There's no doubt he's your type.
He is. He's my bit of rough.
Yeah.
The through line could start with us playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave the rest to your creative touch, Colleen, because after all, you are the master.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyrie Shelton looking on thinking, I don't get it. I don't get it why he's obsessed with McNamara. Okay, your weekend looks like this, courtesy of Mini USA. Everton versus Arsenal at 7:45 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday on NBCSN.
You know who's going to win that? Whichever team goes two goals down quickly.
Well, not anymore, Rog. Chelsea versus West Ham. Oh, no. At 11 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday on NBCSN. Sunday at noon on Network NBC. It's City versus United. The 171st playing of the Manchester Derby, Rog. And in MLS, DC United versus Colorado Rapids. 5 p.m. Eastern Time, ESPN2. Followed by Sporting Kansas City versus Toronto FC. Rog Giovinco at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1.
Oh, Alexi.
Okay, last week on the pod, Rog, we spoke a little about America Scores, the after-school nonprofit promotes football and poetry with Robert / Tyus Brownings at more than 175 public and charter schools across America. This summer, the organization hosts the 10th annual America Scores New York Corporate Cup. It's an adult recreational football tournament here in New York City that benefits the organization. For more information on entering a team, go to americascores.org. Oh, Rog, for those of you coming to this year's Golden Blazer presented by Mini, Wednesday, April 6th.
It's going to be amazing, by the way. It's going to be amazing.
April 6th at 8 p.m. This year's event includes Men in Blazers' first ever blazer drive. Bring a blazer, suit, or sport coat to donate. What is the difference between a blazer and a sport coat? To donate to Hope for the Warriors Transition Services program, which supports the goals of service members, veterans, and their families as they move from military careers into professional roles.
And thanks to many of you from around the country who won't be coming but have mailed in their blazers. If you want to know where to mail them, just send us an email and we'll let you know and connect you to the great organization that is Hope for the Warriors.
Brilliant. There are many ways to connect to us. One is our Amazon Emporium. Helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon, Frightens, big or small, just click off the Emporium page and Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the costs of creating the show. What are you putting in the Emporium this week, Rog?
Not a book.
Oh.
Two books.
Oh.
Both about skyjacking. I was reading Saul David's amazing Operation Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
A military history of the hijacking of an Air France plane en route to Paris from Tel Aviv in the 1970s.
Huh.
How Israeli special forces mounted an audacious rescue mission to free the passengers from Idi Amin's Entebbe Airport in Uganda. It is a stunning read. One matched by a book on the same topic.
Is Jamie Vardy in it?
He wasn't in that one, but he is the kind of person that was in the next one. Okay. Sent to me by a GFOP, Brendan Kerner, contributing editor at Wired, who wrote The Skies Belong to Us, a rattlingly great retelling of 5 years. I had no idea about this, Davo. From 1968 onwards, desperate Americans hijacked domestic flights at the staggering rate of one a week, using guns, homemade bombs, and jars of acid. People, I imagine, a little bit like the Jamie Vardy of the day. They wanted to escape to romanticise foreign lands, many of them like Castro's Cuba. The New York Times compared this book to a Scorsese movie, and they made that comparison before vinyl came out. I love it. And Brendan Kerner, courage.
News alert. I found Shot Caller on Amazon, Rog. A bad boy's baby novel. A bargain at $14.99. Order it now for me, Kaelin. I want it. Shot Caller, a bad boy's baby novel. I'm going to get it. Fantastic book.
The first line of this book, when you read it, you'll want to buy it.
Let me read you the first line. Poppy Abrams. I love the name Poppy Abrams. The first time I felt Maddox Walcott inside me was 8 years ago. He was the university's star striker, and I was their first female athletic trainer. He was 19, I was 26. Ooh. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Amazing book, Rog. Can't wait for it. Once again, that's $14.99
in paperback. An Operation Thunderbolt.
Okay, Rog, you can now watch entire episodes of our crap TV show on NBC Sports Live Extra, Apple TV and Roku. It's also up on our website. Stop thinking about Tommy McNamara, meninblazers.com. Also on meninblazers.com, a place to sign up for our newsletter, The Raven, which we produce with our partner Guinness. We've got a Spotify account, men_in_blazers. meninblazers.wikispaces.com/a-wonder-of-the-modern-world. Follow us on Twitter at Embassy Davies, at Rog Bennett, at Men in Blazers. On Instagram at Men in Blazers, at Embassy_Davies. We got a Facebook also. We got a subreddit.
Yes.
Meninblazers.reddit.com, maintained by GFOB's Akshay, Calvin, and Alex.
Yes.
You can always send your ravens to the crap part of Soho. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. Vendorpunk Rog.
War Pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Living the nightmare.
Courage.
Take that, Gloria.
Is that your analysis?
To Tweed.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fight in America. Love you, Dave.
Love you too, Rog.
And I love each and every one of you who sent me photographs of that horse in the tweed suit.
Come and give me a nuzzle.